Hello and welcome to my podcast Jetzt erst recht positiv leben mit Parkinson. My name is Katrin Bersing and I live in Germany. I started this podcast over 2 years ago because I was looking for people who live a positive life despite having Parkinson's disease. Well, when I was diagnosed at the age of 40, I read and heard only frightening stories everywhere. And I was determined to change that. Today I know that there are so many wonderful people out there who live exciting and inspiring lives despite Parkinson's. One of them is my guest today, it's Nigel Smith from England. Nigel is a poet and he's one of the founders of Poets with Parkinson's. We talk about many topics in this interview. Nigel has gone through really rough times in recent years, which he talks about honestly. But his story is also about how writing poetry has brought him back to life and how important it is that we recognize our own worth and value. However, there's also a lot of humor and laughter in our conversation. So you see, there's lots to say about Nigel, but he better tells us in his own voice, which, by the way, is a really beautiful storyteller's voice. So I'm sure you will enjoy this interview. Hello, Nigel. It's so nice talking to you today. We have a mutual friend. It's Katharina Bayer. And she called me a few weeks ago and said, you absolutely have to invite Nigel to your podcast. So here you are. Welcome, Nigel.
Thank you. That's very kind. Yes, I think Rina's taken upon herself to be my agent somehow.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have an agent, I think.
I didn't even ask for one.
Surprise.
Surprise, yeah. Lovely lady, and helping others and young Parkinson's that she does. And of course, poetry, which is where we met. She approached me on the site when Parkinson's Art, which was the predecessor to the one we've got now at the moment, and asked me to translate a poem. And now we've become good friends, so that's great.
Yeah, good to hear that. We agreed that you wouldn't prepare for my questions, but just answer spontaneously. And I'm sure you are a man of words and poetry, so you will manage without any problems. But I had to prepare a bit because my English is not perfect. Anyway, I always start my podcast with focusing on the present. And so I would like to ask you, Nigel, what did you laugh about today?
I start every morning by going through all the funnies on social media.
All right.
And I look for things that amuse me and maybe amuse others or interest others. And then I put a few on my Facebook page or in other places just to spread the laughter. I used to be involved with a humor group just for Parkinson's, and that's what it was based on.
Okay.
And that's where I got into the habit of going through, trawling through every morning. And there's an old British comedy this morning, which was brought back memories as well, because it's my dad's 88th birthday today. So we went out for a meal, which is quite rare for me.
Oh, congratulations.
The old dad. Humor was a big thing for us. It's an important part of my life.
Yeah.
You can't laugh, you can't live.
That's true. Yeah, thank you. It's a really good idea to start with laughter. And the humor group sounds really cool. I should have one too, I think. You live in England, right?
North of England, near Leeds, in the county of West Yorkshire.
All right.
So I hope you forgive my deep accent. You're talking a little bit fast.
Okay. Yeah, I will just try. And if I don't get something, then I will tell you. Okay. Thank you. If you had to describe yourself in 3 sentences, who would you say Nigel Smith is?
Ooh, I would say Nigel Smith is different, stubborn, very stubborn, and a clown.
A clown, okay. Cool words. My podcast is always about the life stories of people with Parkinson's disease. How did your life change when you were diagnosed with Parkinson's?
Like everybody, I knew something was wrong for a while, and I'm rigidity dominant.
Yeah, so am I, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a strange thing to say, but I was walking with other chaps, I realized I was kind of stumbling and awkward somehow. I couldn't figure out why. Mm-hmm. Eventually it got to the point where people were saying things, customers and friends, and I had to then go get diagnosed properly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went with my wife, and it was quite funny, really, because we thought we got away with it. He went through all the history and symptoms. I'd mentioned that I got migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through all these tests and things, and which were basically just from that, you get this sledgehammer diagnosis.
Mm.
And he said, right, well, he said, we can certainly help you your migraines. And I thought, oh, great, thanks, yeah. And then, and I've got to tell you, you've got Parkinson's as an afterthought. And I said, oh, no.
Okay.
It just sort of built me up and
intentional,
but I thought I got away with it.
Mm.
Looking back at it, because it was typical English. So I stood up and, well, thank you very much, Dr. for your trouble. And I trust your bill will be on its way. Good day, sir. Walked out. And we went out to the park, local park, and we just sort of held each other and thought, what would we do now? It wasn't until about a few hours later when I sat there and Joanne was ringing around my wife, friends and family and stuff, and saying what was happened. And I started thinking, I think, gosh, it's me. She's talking about me.
Mm.
I had a brief period where I thought, I can handle this. I can deal with this. The kids were quite young at that time, 10 and 6, I think it was. And then it starts to creep in. And once the medication started, looking back, I should have stopped, put off the medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it's like now. I think they've gone back to levodopa as the first port of call. But back then, this was 14 years ago, it was very much the keep off the levodopa as long as you can and just get easier and start the agonist. So this guy just piled the agonists into me. And usual, probably a very similar story to most people. I got a business of my own, self-employed. Personally, it ended up with me losing a business and everything else. I'd been riven with apathy and paranoia and things for years, and I didn't know why I was acting like this. It all came out in the diagnosis, of course. But then 5 years after that, my wife got cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She got oral cancer, and she had to have a neck cut and a tongue cut in half, and had the two kids at home, and it was a tough time.
Yeah.
But out of that fall and turmoil, I coped with it to start with by throwing myself into the citizen scientist community.
Mm-hmm.
I was in optics.
Yeah, all right.
Science background, I was a contact lens optician. And that kind of appealed to me. And I wasted years, Catherine, years, finding out cures and different drugs and things. And then one day it just suddenly dawned on me, even if I found a cure, nobody would listen to me. I'm just wasting my time. And it was that point, a defining point. I'd been hospitalized a few times from obsessive behaviors and things. And that was a defining point. And it was at that time that I started to wake up with poems fully formed in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that started the whole poetry thing. But up to that point, I was very near the edge, if you know what I mean.
I know. You wrote it to me in an email. You wrote that I was closer to the abyss than ever before, and yet I stepped back. And I really found this sentence so special because, yeah, there are moments in life when it's much easier just to let go and give up, but you did not. And what helped you to stay alive?
Joe came home one day and I'd been sat in the chair all day, but I'd ordered a rope, specially made.
Mm.
And she came home and she said, you've had enough, haven't you? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. And we looked at each other, and obviously a bit teary and stuff, and she said, would you let me know when so I can prepare?
Mm.
And that night, Catherine, my boy came home from school, and he'd had a rough time. We'd let them know.
Mm.
But they'd done a science project on Parkinson's and is it fatal or not? Is it terminal? And he came home just distraught and stuff. And it was that moment that I thought, you selfish man.
Mm.
You put your family through this, and now you're going to put them through that. You know, you're a man or a mouse. You know, get your act together, Smith. And that's what I did. It was that moment that I just looked at him and thought, I can't leave him.
Hmm.
Or her. Or Joe. Yeah, and then I turned around from that point and started to think of what else I can do. It's all to do with loss of worth.
Hmm.
What have I got to give society or my family or anything?
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, they still love you. And you think, but people miss a big piece of the person. And that's besides all the thing. We all love each other and we're all close family. But there's a big piece missing. And that's the self-worth in society.
Mm-hmm.
And what your values are. And I had a particularly rough time. But I decided I would throw myself into poetry. And I realised that in my youth, I'd always been a deep thinker. And the mind was the key to everything. It might take my brain, but as long as my mind's still going, a part of it, my arms might walk, my legs might not work, but I can still travel. I can still go places and do things. Maybe not physically to the end of the world, but I can travel anywhere within my mind and do anything. And then I just started writing, quite prolific, really, for a while, just tumbling poems and come out and write them down and send them off and post them and things. It's the act of creation. That's what it is. It's the act of creation. It's your thoughts and emotions made manifest for others to connect with. As a poet, that's what I seek, is connection. I think we all do in life. It's not always obvious, but it's connection that we seek and benefit from.
I'm deeply touched by listening to your story. And as you mentioned, how difficult the time was when you were feeling really bad and thought about giving up, and then you remembered your family. And I think it's important to talk about these things too. It's often that when we go out, people ask, how are you? Well, we are fine, of course. Yeah, we managed with Parkinson's, but I'm sure every person, it doesn't matter if Parkinson's or not, has these days. And it's so important to talk about these days, but also to show that there are always ways out of it. And you decided yourself, and nobody else, but you decided to stay alive and to give your life a new meaning, and started with poetry. I had this question written down, what does writing and poetry mean to you? But I think you answered it already. Well, when we focus on Parkinson's, how can writing and how can words help us to cope better with Parkinson's? What would you say?
It's your thoughts and your emotions. It manifests. When you've written a poem, you're taking these bad things out, and you're almost kind of psychologically distancing yourself from them. But then you look at them and you've created this thing, these words. And poetry is, it's a way of tripping you out of your everyday method of thought. And in our case, the everyday method of thought is doom and gloom, or can be, if we're not careful. And a good poem should be able to trip you out of that into a different thought pattern, a different world, a different scene, a different way of thinking. And it's a craft as well. And so you can improve on it. So it's a lifelong thing. You can nurture it. You can grow it. You can better yourself. You can link it to art. You can collaborate with other people. To hear your own words brings a poem alive. I like to also read other people's poems, because that's quite special as well. For somebody to hear their words read by somebody else is another level altogether, a different thing. But on a simple level, it's just the act of writing your thoughts down on paper. It seems to be able to exercise it and rid you of it. On the side, I never dictate or say what people should or shouldn't write, because there's a saying, it's kind of like the poem picks the poet, not the other way around.
Right.
And in a sense, it's kind of true. I set challenges. I hate the word challenge, but prompts. I seem to love them. I can't stand puzzle poetry.
Okay.
But people seem to lap them up, so I do that as well once a month. But people sometimes have a need to talk about certain things. But slowly, as you watch, they start to write about other things. I don't write about Parkinson's anymore at all. Mm. I still got the Parkinson's poems, and they're all pretty grim and dire and dark. Although they resonate with people, I only ever read them on request. It's an art form, but it's an image of being highbrow and what does Byron think? What was he thinking when he wrote this? And it doesn't matter what he was thinking. Nobody knows what he was thinking. It's a matter of taking those words separate and connecting with them on your level. As long as you can get something out of it, who gives a monkey's what Byron said or thought.
Yeah, that's true. Now, as you mentioned it, I wrote to you in my last email that I don't know much about literature and poetry, and because I always had that in mind, that in my German lessons, the teacher always asked, oh, what was Goethe or Schiller or Shakespeare wanting to say? And I thought, I don't know what he wants to say. But I was mostly wrong in the teacher's mind. So
say, but were you wrong, Catherine?
I don't know, but and they always told me I was wrong. So I always felt I don't understand literature. But I think you are really right, because it's what you make of it, and what you want to say with the poem is what you want to say, and what people understand might be different things, but it doesn't matter, because when a poem or a text or words touch you, then this is what you want, I guess, right?
And that's the beauty of poetry. It's a form as well. It's condensed. People sometimes say to me, "What is poetry, Nigel? What is poetry?" And I say, I ask them this question: "What is a friend?" Mm-hmm. And they'll say, "Well, it's somebody who supports you and there for you in difficult times, I suppose." And I say, "Well, this is what C.S. Lewis of Narnia said," and he said something like, "A friend is someone who can sing your song when you've forgotten the words." Mm-hmm. And then I say to them, "Which one do you remember? Which one reached you?" And they go, "Well, the song one." Yeah, that's poetry. Mm-hmm. Conveying information and emotion and thought that ordinary everyday words can't, in a more efficient way as well. This is a big thing, Catherine, that only the poet can judge, as far as I'm concerned, can judge his own work. Mm-hmm. Everyone else can either like it or not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you also talked about collaboration, because it's always great to share your stories, your poems, your poetry. And you have started a project with several people from different countries, Poets Wall, Poets with Parkinson's. What is it about, and what can you tell us about it?
Well, originally, myself and a guy called Martin Pickard, Martin and myself, Uncle Martin, as I call him, we ran the poetry division section of Parkinson's Art, mm-hmm. which was very successful, but unfortunately it had to close due to the illness of the guy who created it, Trevor Willard. He's a marvellous man, and we're very sorry to see it go that way. But that's the trouble with anything we do. We've all got Parkinson's.
Yeah.
But we'd invest so much time, and more importantly, we were getting somewhere, and we were building a community, a circle of poets, and I just didn't want to let people down. I still felt we've got more to give, a bigger community. And we set up Poets with Parkinson's at the Wall. The Wall's at the home, the site. Mm-hmm. The group's the Poets with Parkinson's. And anybody who's been touched by Parkinson's, which means carers as well, and loved ones, and touched by Parkinson's, is welcome to come along. We're a positive environment. We want to offer peace and harmony, and a place for people to express themselves through poetry and art, and improve and join in the community if they want to, or just pop in now and again. It's just a haven, I like to think, a haven where people can come and talk to other people without thinking, "Oh, is my poem any good?" Or yeah, it is good, because it's come from your heart and your mind. It's good.
That's all that is needed, all right? Yeah, sounds really good. And if there are any people out there hearing our interview today, I know that there are people who would like to start but don't know how to start. What would you say when you think, "I really have a feeling I should write, but how could I start properly?"
Writing poetry. The first thing to think is just have a go. Just put your thoughts down. You can go down either route of just free verse. I mean, free verse is without any structure, any sort of syllable count, rhyming schemes. Mm-hmm. It's just free verse, and it can be quite beautiful. So rhyming isn't necessary. That's the first thing to say.
All right.
Poetry. But rhymes are always fun. I mean, I can write a big, long stretch of free verse, and I have to put a rhyme in somewhere. But it can be quite effective as well, you know. Sudden couple of lines of rhyme, it can be quite impact. But yeah, just have a go. If anybody wants to contact us, just we'll give the emails and address.
Yeah, of course. I will put them in the show notes, yeah.
Just write to me.
Yeah, cool.
And have a go. If they want me to have a look at something first, rather than just put it on the site, I can help them that way.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's very easy just to get started and contact you.
The thing is with poetry, you don't need any easel or expensive paints or anything. You need a keyboard and a screen,
yeah.
or a pen and paper even.
And those things everybody should have at home, I think.
In the drawer somewhere.
Of course. Sounds really interesting, and I think it's also a great thing to connect people from different countries, to get international contacts. That is special, yeah.
We've got Louisa from Italy, and Zarina, of course, from Germany. We've had other visitors from other countries as well. So yeah, as a rule, Parkinson's, I don't know how you find it, but Parkinson's people tend to be quite nice people.
That is true. I noticed that too.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the way it is. I believe that it's important to dream big. And even though with Parkinson's, everything might get smaller, the steps, but I think it's important that our dreams stay big. I don't go for any small wishes, so dream big, I think. And if you could wish for the future, where would you see your project with the Poets with Parkinson's in 5 years?
Ooh, now then.
Dream big.
That's a good question. I would like to see it internationally recognized community. Mm. I suppose it is a grand plan. It's nothing in terms of numbers and size.
Mm.
More in quality, and by quality, I mean what people get out of it.
Mm.
There are a lot of people out there who are isolated that maybe will benefit from the interaction that we could provide and the emotional support we can help with and things like that. So that's really what it's about. I like to think of it as a collective of like-minded people. I'd like to have a real proper community where we all know each other as if we're friends, close-knit and international. That would be my five-year wish.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. I think that's really good to focus on for the future. And I also think that it's so beautiful to connect people. And this is the one thing that really is good about Parkinson's, that there are other people we couldn't connect with and who know how we feel. And this is something that doctors and nurses and therapists don't know what we feel about. And there are so many ways of getting in touch with each other, like writing, or I like to play ping pong. That is also very cool to get in touch with people. Yeah, but it's good that there are different ideas how to get connected so that people can choose whatever they feel good with.
Are you competitive, Katrina?
I never used to be competitive, but now I started this ping pong thing and there are lots of competitions. And now I'm quite competitive.
I ask because our mutual friend is rather competitive at ping pong.
Okay. It's really cool. I started in some tournaments, though I've never played ping pong before, just in the garden in my childhood. But now I'm getting better. I'm not really good, but I'm getting better. And I also won some smaller prizes. So I thought, well, I can do it. It's cool. Yeah. And I think it's similar to poetry. Maybe when you achieve something that you thought you can't do anymore, but now you realize it doesn't matter. You can build something, you can achieve something, you can write. That is all we need, I think.
And we're back to this thing of worth and value, you know?
Mm.
The fact that you're out in the community and interacting is worth in itself. But when you're creating, when you're winning or competing or anything like that, it can't be underestimated how important that sort of thing is. Just, you know, but in my case, just somebody to read my words and go, wow, it's made me think about other people and who have difficulty as well, besides Parkinson's patients. Mm. We tend to get so wrapped up in ourselves. I wrote a poem called Give Me One More Hour, and it was about Parkinson's, about how stressed I used to get, and probably still do now, when I have to go out on a family do or something, or meet friends. Will I let them down? Will I be well enough to go?
Mm.
And often I'd say, give us an hour. And I wrote this poem, and then I thought, you know what? There's lots of other people who are in a similar situation, or worse, worrying and fighting with demons about the gender, the relationships, and the other illnesses. So I changed it to a general one. I just put it on Facebook, as I do randomly now and again. And I got an old friend we knew was gay from way back in the day. But he never came out. I'd lost contact with him. And he contacted me and said how much it spoke to him. And I was delighted then to find out that he'd got a partner. He'd had a family.
Hmm.
He'd now retired and was touring Italy, where his folks are from. Probably one of the highlights of my poetic career was that. I don't know why. It just perhaps because there's a personal connection as well, but
yeah,
because I reached out to somebody, not just a Parkinson's person, I think.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I think poetry connects everyone. I would like to ask you if you could read one or two poems if you like to. But first of all, I would like to ask you my last question. Well, you said so many words of wisdom already, but do you have some final advice or words of wisdom you would like to share with the listeners in the end?
I'd like to remind people that two things. Just because you can't feel somebody's hand on your shoulder doesn't mean that they don't care. And the other thing is, no matter how close somebody is to you and how much they carry your burden, your rucksack, every now and again they have to put it down, rest themselves. I think we tend to get a little bit upset when people don't recognise how poorly we are at times and what a burden we have.
Yeah, it's not always our burden only, right?
And some people are also hard to find it hard to express themselves emotionally. I don't mean they don't care.
Thank you. That's very beautiful. So, if you would like to share some of your work, you can choose whatever you like. So, feel free.
Right. Okay. This is from the end sequence of an epic long thing. That's the end part of that. When I came out of the hospital last summer, after a long stay, the whole thing quite a tripped out psychedelic poem, but the end bit is where I suddenly reflected on it and thought, you know, all the things that I've still got, they could never take them away from me, and I find it very positive. So I'd like to share that with you.
Okay, thank you.
My mother would say, "Wave at the people on the train, children. And come rain, come shine." We did. And someone, a stranger, always waved back. When I have aged too far, and I am bound to the youth of others. When my eyes are of wintered glass, your world sharp no more. I shall see still the much and the many that cannot be hidden by opacity. Always close, they will bring warmth easily, and with ease will I gather them for warmth. These things will fill my hours, my time left on the clock. Sayings, sounds, and words will swarm like the starling flock. Each and every a trigger, a time tattoo, a hand in the night. And if I wake, not of flesh but chrome, like frozen reflected light, with them to my past I will roam, wide-eyed. Not from the cards I've been dealt, but from the kindness of strangers as I've felt. I see the promise of evening light and windfall fruit, sweet picked from eiderdown grass, and the run of infant ripples over still water, carrying long days into twilight, reluctant to pass. I see those days when the air is like sips of mint, when twigs have that delicate frost that smooths gnarled bark to precious until the sun melts their budding free. And those rare balmy tea-light nights, evenings, patios decorated with voices known, laughing against the night as if sleep has been cured. I can stand again within summer's green, arms cruciform, better to feel the wind run through the fields, grasses bowing in deference, a soft comb that brings sight to the passing, lulling me to the very edge of slumber, where stories lie waiting. Thank you. There are so many, many happy days above the ordinary. And yet it is to the common and not the peculiar that I choose to go. The time when our wakeful hours were filled with beautiful living, and we were arrogant in our together, proclaiming the puzzle of hearts resolved. I see my father speaking of his life as a child, his eyes dripping sea and rain from long ago, staring at places lost to all but him, and tumbling age as if it had no rule, and a smile that appeared, escaped from time's keep, a glimpse of the boy that I had once been. Those times of lighthouse flashes that scored through haze and hum, a smile lent to a sip would tumble laughter free from its precarious perch. And we said, let's climb the thrill rails once more, and we will drink blues and brandy until we pals, we forever children, will slump giggle-pissed and hilarious to await heavy lids and the coming adulthood. I feel I should weep, but don't know why. Perhaps for old hands stiffened to claws, or for when the future was yet to be drawn and filled with detail. Sadness always seems somewhere near, but I smile, content the earth will always turn, indifferent to life's eccentricities, marking my time in the small window, with past and future on either side, shuttered to tease the curious. Life is such an absurd employment. It is given and then taken, with no reason, no purpose. But that is the price we pay. And in the end, I say, it is small coin for such a loan.
Thank you very much for sharing. These were wonderful words. Nigel, thank you very much for your time, for your beautiful words and for your inspiration. And yeah, it's been a really pleasure talking to you, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Likewise, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Yeah, Nigel shared a lot of great thoughts in our interview, which I like to reflect on again. He said that sometimes we are very preoccupied with ourselves and are less aware of the people around us, perhaps feeling that they don't understand how difficult it is for us to live with the disease. But I guess sometimes we forget that other people also have rough times. While not every person has their own burden to carry, even though it might look from the outside that their lives are pretty perfect. What I truly am convinced of is that it's up to us to decide how heavy our burden is. So what we all need is more lightness in life. And a poem can definitely help with that. When did you read your last poem? So have a go and visit Poet's Wall, or even better, get in touch with Nigel and write a poem yourself. You can find all the links in the show notes. Nigel said it so well, it's about the value we give to ourselves, but also to others. And I would like to remind you that you are unique and one of a kind. So go out and show the world what you've got. Take good care of yourself and stay on the positive side of life.